Hello and welcome to another episode of the Bearded Mystic Podcast, and I'm your host, Rahul N. Singh. Thank you for taking out the time today to either watch or listen to this podcast episode. Today we will be continuing on with my thoughts on the Bhagavad Gita, but before we do begin, there's a few announcements I would like to make. Please do give your support to the Bearded Mystic Podcast by signing up to our Patreon page, where you can get ad-free and bonus episodes like my thoughts on the Upanishads and other benefits depending on the tier you select. Details are in the show notes and video description below. You can also get the bonus episodes on Buzzsprout subscriptions and Apple Podcast subscriptions. The details for that are in the show notes and video description below. Every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, there is a free virtual meditation session along with discussion and Q&A. It's a very relaxed discussion. If you're interested in attending that, you can find the details in the show notes and video description if you're interested in attending the meditation session. Remember, it's free and open to whether you're a beginner or an expert. If you have any questions, you can ask them in the new series, Direct and Unfiltered with the Bearded Mystic. More information is in the show notes and video description below. Please like, comment and subscribe if you're watching this on YouTube. And if you're listening to this on your favorite podcast streaming app, please rate and review the podcast and do follow or subscribe to get future episodes. Today, we will be continuing on with our thoughts on the Bhagavad Gita, and we're going to be looking at chapter 7, verses 16 to 22. There's a lot to unpack in today's episode, so what I would say is get ready. It's going to be a deep episode. Some of my favorite verses are in this episode itself. Verse 16. Listen, Arjun, there are four kinds of humans who are already devoted to me and act for the benefit of all beings. There's the Artho, which is they feel the miseries around them and ask me for help. Jigyasu, they are curious and seek higher knowledge from me. Arthati, which is they seek wealth from me for idealistic reasons to alleviate distress in society. And Jnani, their strongest desire is to acquire self-actualizing wisdom by which to know me. So, very interesting. We're going to break this verse up, as I mentioned earlier. Listen, Arjun, there are four kinds of humans who are already devoted to me and act for the benefit of all beings. Very simply, we are understanding here that Sri Krishna is talking about people who are already devoted to him. So these are four types of devotees. And not only that, they are looking to benefit many or benefit all beings. So it's not that they're doing anything out of selfish reasons. They are quite selfless in the sense of they're looking out for others. It's not just for themselves. So we're going to look at how four kinds of human beings are kind of approaching the ultimate reality in their own way. So not necessarily through the way that we probably talk about here on the podcast, but we shouldn't discount the other three types of, or the other two types of devotees, because in a way we are all interlinked and we all want to work with each other. So that's the most important thing I want to say before we go into the four types of devotees or four types of humans who are devoted to Brahman and look for the benefit of all beings. Now, the Artho book, which is really, they feel the miseries around them and ask me for help. They feel the misery for their own selves. They recognize that they are not happy. They recognize that they're miserable. So they want to do something about it. And they want to do something about all their problems and sufferings. So they feel it. They are very intense about it. So they ask God for help. You know, a lot of people do this where they will do a prayer or a das and they will ask for God to give them guidance because that's their support system. That's where they get the maximum support from. So from asking God, they feel that union, they feel that closeness. Not only that, but they also feel the misery for others around them. They can see that the world is in distress. They can see suffering in the world. They can see poverty. They can see the social injustices. They want to do something about it. So again, they will ask God for help. They will ask this Brahman for guidance. But the moment they do this, remember, they're making God into something of nature. That's where it becomes Saguna Brahman. Now, we obviously always talk about Nirgun Brahman. Now that you can't ask anything from Nirgun Brahman, the moment you do, Nirgun becomes Sagun. Because for it to help you, it will have to have some attributes. Yeah. Real meditation is with Nirgun. So I want that to be established as well. Now, obviously these people pray to God because they want God to interfere in these matters. The second type of human here is Jigyasu. So they are curious and seek higher knowledge from me. The interesting thing here is that these people are seekers. A lot of us are probably in this camp where we are seeking. We want to know the answers. We want to discover the answers. We want to understand what this reality is. How can we understand it? And so we look for all types of methods, whether that's doing puja, whether that's doing parts, whether that's doing prayers, whether that's chanting mantras, whether that's fasting, whether that's doing, you know, the karmakand type of actions, or it's seeking scriptural knowledge, listening to kathas, listening to stories about the divine incarnations. All those type of things are what a jigyasu would do. They want to know the truth. They're very honest about it. They will do their yoga, their acts which will cause union. And they may go in and out of union too. Those are the people who will go in and out of samadhi. Those people are jigyasus. They are the true seekers. And they will go to different gurus and they will probably guru hop too. Go to one and then the next one. But what they're doing is seeking clarity. They want clarity. They're seeking the divine. And so they read the scriptures. And they are sincere and honest in their searching. A lot of people, I hope, are jigyasus. They want to seek higher knowledge about Brahman. And then he says, Atati Bhagat. So the Atati devotees, they seek wealth from me for idealistic reasons to alleviate distress in society. First of all, they want their desires met because they want to get rich, they want to get powerful, so then they can help society. They want to get money to do charitable acts. It's noble, it's nice, they want to help society, they pay their fair share of taxes, they are looking after the, you know, as I said, the deva of taxes. They're doing their work, they're doing their thing. But at the end of the day, it's something that's done for an idealistic reason, and they're not really doing things for their own mukti, their own liberation. Then the fourth one, which is the most important one, and I hope that the people that do listen to this podcast, that even if you're not at this stage, that you're looking to get to this point where you are the Gyani devotee, the Gyani human being, where you want to have that strong desire to acquire self-actualizing wisdom by which to know me. So having that Brahmgyan, that knowledge of Brahman. For me, this is where I want to be. That's what I want. That's what I really desire. So on a personal note, this is exactly what I am. I won't say that I've reached there. Definitely, that's what I really want. I want to have that self-actualizing wisdom. I want that Brahmgyan. And when I have that Brahmgyan, I want to actualize it. I want to embody it. I want to become it. I don't want anything else. And if I get anything else, it's a lovely bonus. I literally see that my family, my wife, everything that I have, my job, the house, the car, everything, it's all beautiful. It's a nice add-on. It's a nice bonus. And I'm so grateful for it because all those things also help me in being a Gyani because I get to truly embody and practice it and see if it works. That's the other great benefit of this. This person, they want enlightenment. Yeah, that's the main task. That's the main purpose of their life. They want enlightenment. They want to be Jivan Mukti. They want Jivan Mukti. They want to be liberated while alive. They don't want to be free later on during death. They want to be free now. They want to experience freedom. Freedom from suffering and pain in this life. Obviously, these people are always seeking that highest wisdom because they want to know Brahman and understand that there is only Brahman. There is only this formless awareness, nothing else. That's the ultimate point. Yeah. So the context really of this whole verse is that Sri Krishna describes the four types of devotees and we must implore which one we are. Now I've shared with you what I am in the comments or in the WhatsApp community group. Tell me, which type of devotee are you and what do you hope to achieve from it? And are you looking to evolve to a higher one? Now let's go to verse 17. Of these four, the person who is dedicated to acquiring knowledge about me and engages directly in my service with ek bhakti, single-minded devotion, is most affectionately linked to me. They are extremely priya or beloved to me and I think of them constantly. Again, a verse that I absolutely love. Now, we obviously know that the Gyani Bhagat, the Gyani devotee, is the most important one. And even my own guru would ask and does ask that we become this type of devotee. And that's the devotee that we should try. The minimum is to be a Jigyasu Bhagat, to be one that is seeking, but to know is the ultimate. Let's break this verse up a little. Of these four, the person who is dedicated to acquiring knowledge about me and engages directly in my service with ik bhakti, single-minded devotion, is most affectionately linked to me. So the Gyani devotee is obviously the most dear and most affectionately linked to Brahman. Brahman is more... we are more aware of Brahman in this state. Yeah? So this shows the importance of wanting to have that Gyana Brahman, to have that Brahm Gyan, to have that knowledge of Brahman, to have that insights into Brahman. Every action that we do is devoted to acquiring and sharing this Gyan. That's what we want to do. We want to share this knowledge. We want to get this knowledge and share it. Because the more we share it, not only are we remembering this knowledge, but also we are helping others to realize that we are one and the same. And here Sri Krishna talks about it is done with single-minded devotion. Single-minded, that's the only thing we can think about, is formless awareness, acquiring formless awareness, getting the wisdom of formless awareness, getting the insights into formless awareness. Getting that Brahm Gyan is the most important thing for us. We are single-mindedly devoted to that. We want nothing else. Yeah, this is the most important thing. Nothing else matters. Nothing else. Even if the best car was in front of you, even if you were told that there's the chance that you can become the richest person in the world, and then there's this Brahm Gyan, this knowledge of Brahman, which one would you go for? You know what I would go for? Brahm Gyan. I wouldn't go for being the richest person. Because if I become the richest person, what's the guarantee that in this life or the next life, I will go for Brahm Gyan? Or that Brahm Gyan would become an opportunity for me like this. That's why you have to be really sure that you want Brahm Gyan. It's no little matter. Literally, once you come across Brahm Gyan, there's no looking back. Really isn't. And that's why I think, if you asked me this maybe years ago, maybe I would have chosen to be the richest person in the world. But now, after having that taste, after being in the perfume of this Brahm Gyan, I don't think I would choose anything else. Because being rich has nothing on this. It really doesn't. If I become rich now after having Brahm Gyan, is a different matter. But right now, the most important thing is that I have the knowledge that is the most highest, the purest of knowledge, the purest of wisdom. And I have to really understand its value and treasure it in my heart. This person, yeah, they have to renounce their desires, their emotions, their thoughts, and constantly remain in the remembrance of Brahman. They just want to be in that mode of bhakti all the time, in that mode of devotion, because there's nothing else they know. They just see Brahman, formless awareness. There's only formless awareness. These objects are like waves, bubbles on a wave. Not even the wave itself. But Brahman is the water. Is a thirsty person going to look at the wave? Or is a thirsty person going to look at water? A person who is a jnani, who wants the truth, will be the one that will not look at the wave and wonder how it's going to get the water. That person will just go for the water. And they are affectionately linked, highlighting the closeness of that relationship, where I would even say there is a complete oneness. For example, you will always be in that formless awareness and you will not be able to escape it. It will not leave you in any way. It will always be right here. It cannot escape you. It cannot leave you. You cannot leave it. You don't even have a choice now. Jai Krishnamurti said, it's choiceless awareness. It really is. And being in that is something else. But when you add love to it, it's next level. That's where Anandavastha comes in. When we enter into that state of true happiness beyond our senses. Yeah, that's where it is. So remember the closeness of that relationship when Sri Krishna says most affectionately linked to me means oneness. That's the highest. Remember, Brahmgyan is meant to take you to oneness. That's Advaita Vedanta, taking you to oneness. That's the ultimate realization that there is only one. That's it. Then Sri Krishna says in that same verse that they are extremely priya, beloved to me, and I think of them constantly. How amazing is that? It's reciprocated. It's not a one-way love. It's a two-way love affair. You're affectionately linked to Brahman, and Brahman adores you just as much. Gather from this. The more you link with Brahman, the more Brahman links with you. Now, it may appear to be two. Eventually, you realize that the two lines that you previously saw that was so apparent, now starts dissolving away. Yeah, that's what happens. Yeah, that's what happens. I mean, there's no other way for me to explain it. But anyway, let me explain the verse. So they are the most beloved to Brahman, or in this case, even to the Guru. Even if one really worships Sri Krishna and becomes one with Sri Krishna, they will become one with Brahman too. And even if you become one with your guru, what is your guru? That highest reality. Because that's where the guru is always pointing towards. Now, say you have a guru and you're really affectionately linked with the guru. What I found in my life was that the closer I got to formless awareness, the closer my guru got to me too. Like our relationship got stronger. And that's the beauty of having a teacher or a role model or a spiritual friend who really helps you, because they think of you too. The guru will constantly think of you as you want to know this ultimate reality. When they know that you're really after the truth, you become the most important thing to them too. Because most people go to a guru. You can see they have crowds of people. But how many people really want what the guru is talking about? Very few. And that's why it's so important that we have that right relationship with the guru or the deity, anyone. It's important to establish a correct relationship, align our real desires. If you just want a guru to feel good, the guru will make you feel good, for sure. But it'd be surface level. If you want that real integrated blissfulness, then formless awareness is the answer. So constantly remember Brahman and watch how you dissolve into Brahman. And you will find that even Brahman is seeking you. That's exactly what happens. You will not be able to escape that oneness then. That once you're united, you're united. And you will find that the very thing you were seeking was also seeking you. You will discover this. This is my guarantee because I can say that happened to me. And the more I remember this, the more this remembers me. And then the more I remember this, I remember that we're one. So that's the importance of remembrance. My guru constantly emphasizes upon remembrance. In Sanskrit, it's called Sumiran. How much of our time is connected to remembering that Supreme One? The context of the whole verse is, Sri Krishna tells us that the devotee that seeks the Gyan is the most closest and most dear to Brahman itself. Then verse 18, all four of these noble aspirants are highly evolved, but the persons who live only for Gyan are just like my own Atma, my very own self. Indeed, the Jeev Atma, whose yoga is unwavering forever, abides in me and finally attains me as their ultimate and final destination. Now, Sri Krishna is talking in our language to show us it's a journey, but if you think about it, again, what you're seeking is seeking you. That's the ultimate answer. So anyway, let's break this verse up. All four of these noble aspirants are highly evolved, but the persons who live only for Gyan are just like my own Atma, my very own self. Here, let's put it this way. There is no need to look down on anyone. All four of these noble aspirants are highly evolved. The fact that they're looking for the greater good means a lot. They are valuable. All are highly evolved beings because their devotion has a larger picture in mind. Yeah, that's why. But we must remember that the Gyani devotee is just the same as Sri Krishna or Brahman itself. Don't see them as different. There's no difference between a Gyani and Brahman. Simple as that. They are one. And remember, live only for Gyani is mentioned. So we have to ask, are we living for the Gyan only? He talks about the persons who live only for Gyan are just like my own Atma, my own self. Now, people will interpret this as saying, well, people who read the Gita will gain Sri Krishna. And Sri Krishna's like, look at the one that I'm pointing to. Right now, Sri Krishna is not Sri Krishna. We've established this earlier. He's speaking as Brahman. That's another insight a Gyani gives, because anyone that doesn't understand will see Krishna as something separate to Brahman. Or will say Brahman doesn't exist, or Brahman is lower than Krishna. Those people are fools, ignorant. Remember Sri Krishna says, if a Gyani is the same as Sri Krishna, or is the same as Brahman, then the matter's clear. There's only one Atma, one Brahman. One Sri Krishna. Just different names for the same nameless one. That's all. And once we understand that, this Gita becomes a lot easier to understand. Then in the next line, Sri Krishna says in that verse, indeed, the Jeev Atma whose yoga is unwavering forever abides in me and finally attains me as their ultimate and final destination. Now, the Jeev who is united with Brahman forever lives in Brahman and the whole of existence. There is a complete oneness with existence, with Maya and Brahman. There's no separation here. This Jeev, only pursuing Gyan, is unwavering in their abidance, meaning they are constantly living in Brahman. They don't see anything else. The screen is Brahman. The light is Brahman. The world outside is Brahman. Everything is Brahman. They know they're living in Brahman, as Brahman. And as he says, attains me, meaning attains Brahman. So due to their yoga, due to their practice, due to their sadhana, they attain what they always were, which is Nirgun Brahman, the attributeless one. This becomes the ultimate and highest destination. This is what we look for. And it is the final destination, as I mentioned before. There's no coming back. There's no way you can enter back into the world and pretend that nothing ever happened. And this is Jivan Mukti. This is where we want to be. Remember, Sri Krishna says the Jeev Atma. So now the Jeev removes its ignorance from being the body and mind, being Prakriti, and moves to Nirgun Brahman. So when I say it goes beyond Prakriti, even beyond Saguna Brahman or Ishvara, or God, as the creator, sustainer, and destroyer. It goes to Nirgun. So that's the most important thing to understand in this verse too. The context of the whole verse is, Sri Krishna talks of how the Jnani devotee is most supreme, even though all four types are highly evolved. That Jnani devotee attains Jivan Mukti because there is full abidance in Nirgun Brahman. So I just want to emphasize the abidance. You're constantly living in Nirgun Brahman. You're constantly living in formless awareness. And although objects are still around you because of the sensory data from the Jeev, of the body and mind, but remember, you just see them as objects, not what you are. You'll see that their existence is because of you. That's the difference. Let's go to verse 19. After many, many births in pursuit of divine knowledge, one finally surrenders unto me alone, saying Vasudeva Sarvam Iti. Vasudeva is the vast source of all and is everything. Such a Mahatma is very rare. So I'm going to look at the whole verse altogether. It has been a long time that we've been searching for this divine knowledge. We've gone through many, many births, as Sri Krishna says. You know, not just as human beings, but possibly we've been living so many lives as different insects, animals, plants, different planets probably, different aspects of the universe. So we've had different births. And we probably have had a few human births too. And we've all been constantly searching for this divine knowledge. This knowledge of Nirgun Brahman. Knowing what we really are. And the purpose of going through those many lives is to get closer to that birth where the Gyan will be revealed to us. We'll find that we live in a family maybe that is more associated with the truth, or at least knows people who know the truth. There'll be circumstances in where you will approach someone, or someone will approach you who has that very truth. In this life is where Brahm Gyan is available. One receives it and attains the possibility of Jivan Mukti. This is the only opportunity. In this life, you will get it. And you should see that in this life, you must. If you listen to this, for example, if the algorithm has got you to listen to this podcast or watch this podcast, this means to me that somewhere, somehow, you've been searching for this. That even these algorithms cannot hide it from you. That's the beauty that we have to understand. Because to come across such things is very rare. Very, very rare indeed. So what we need to do next? The next stage is to surrender our ignorance to Nirgun Brahman. That's what we need to surrender to. So we finally surrender to Nirgun Brahman. That's what Sri Krishna means by me alone. Remember, what is the only thing? What's the only omnipresent thing? Nirgun Brahman. Here Sri Krishna uses a different name for Nirgun Brahman. But again, it's a name that will mean a lot to Arjun. So he uses the word Vasudeva Sarvam Iti. That Vasudeva is the vast source of all and is everything. So one thing is, it states here how Brahman is vastness itself. So we should understand how vast Brahman is and how it is the only thing there is. All there is Brahman. That's all. Literally. All I know is Brahman. That's the state of the being. And then we see Brahman as everything and the only thing. Such a being that says this, feels this, and becomes Brahman is very rare. Sri Krishna is already saying it now to Arjun. Such a person is very rare. Now you've got to ask this question. Are you going to be one of those rare ones that will get it? Or will you be the many that will listen but go their own way? Just remember, you're all evolving to that highest truth anyway. So the context of the whole verse is that Sri Krishna guides how rare the Mahatma is. Yeah, the Mahatma, he uses the word Mahatma. That great soul, that great being, is that surrenders to Brahman and sees Brahman as the only thing and source of all existence. Verse 20, conversely, those whose discernment has been stolen by their hunger for pleasure, making offerings to the lesser devas of material nature, seeking benefits from them, the deva they choose to adore reflects the bias of their own unique material nature. Here we see that Sri Krishna is being a bit critical, and maybe critical for a reason, because I would even go far to say here that if you make Sri Krishna a deva of material nature, that he has a physical form, that he can be seen in a form, he has a physical location, then you can understand that those people are in a bias of some sort. Someone who seeks Brahman cannot be biased in any way. It's impossible. What can you be biased about something that is nirgun, attributeless? You can only be biased towards something that has an attribute. And what have people made Krishna into? An attribute. Sri Krishna is Brahman. And people have lowered Sri Krishna's stature. When I say people, the people like in ISKCON, or people who see Krishna as the highest, as in the physical form of Krishna, the historical form of Krishna, the spiritual guru Krishna. Essentially what Sri Krishna here is saying and giving a warning, as if looking into the future and seeing what could happen to him. He knows that we just want to meet our own desires. That's why we ask for things. That's what we desire. That's what we look for in life. So, you know, when people ask you, what is the purpose of life? What is your goal for life? What's your 5-year plan, 10-year plan, 20-year plan? Have you ever heard someone say mukti or jivan mukti? You only are going to go for what you really desire. Someone who is jivan-mukt may still get everything of material nature because they are the ground of all existence. You see the difference here. If you can capture this very subtle thing I've just said, let me know. I need to know in the comments that you captured it. Message me. Message in the WhatsApp community group. Let me know, one way or another. On Instagram, DM me. I think you can now DM me on TikTok too. Email me, beardedmysticpodcast@gmail.com. you'll find the answer. Tell me your answer. If all we want is pleasure and not spiritual attainment, that's what we're going to get. Pleasure. If we cannot think straight when we desire anything, big or small, necessary or unnecessary, then our vivek has been stolen. Simple. We cannot discern between the real and the unreal. We cannot discern between the changing and the changeless. If we're still chasing after the changing, after being told about the changeless, our discernment is extremely low. And if we don't know that we're chasing the changing and we do not even know about the changeless, we are even in a deeper ignorance. Avivek has been completely stolen in that sense. So what do we do? What's the outcome? What steps can we do to avoid this? We then pray to the devas to help us attain those material pleasures. In one way, we're seeking some spiritual help. Or today we may follow some person. We may look up to some billionaire and made them into our idol. Some celebrity, some social media influencer. They have become our devas of material nature. So we pay them in one way. Maybe we pay for a course and all that stuff. We look to appease them, please them, help them, give a few good words, write good testimonials. Devas can also be seen in the traditional sense, like Agni, Vayu or Indra. Obviously, that can be the way. But today, I find we more or less will look at a social media influencer or even our workplace as a deva. Or our school institutions, educational institutions as devas. Whatever you worship and adore reflects what you are. If you're worshipping and adoring Nirgun Brahman, that's exactly what you are. If you're adoring and worshipping formless awareness, that's exactly what you are. It's reflecting who you are. If you're chasing after money, property, power, positions, whether in spiritual institutions or worldly institutions, that's reflecting who you are. That's what you are. There's no need to deny it. Neither is Sri Krishna saying these are bad. He's just saying that's your nature. Accept it. This is what you are. Now, a person who is a billionaire, who's just seeking more money, more power, more clout, why should they think of attaining Brahman? Why? If that's not what you want, don't do it. Don't waste your time. You won't get it. Because it's only if you really desire it. It has to be your everything. So what is your everything? Is it the wealth of the world? Or is it Brahman? The true Brahmgyani will balance both because they know Brahman is wealth. They will understand the nature of existence. They will utilize Prakriti, but will not become Prakriti. That's the difference. It's a very subtle difference, but that's what it is. So don't pretend to be really spiritual until you get all of your desires met. If you desire to have the biggest house, desire that. If you desire to have better cars, get that before you become spiritual. That's my advice. If you're listening to this and you're like, well, I still want material success, get material success first. When you feel satisfied from that, then you're ready for spirituality. If you know how to balance both, even better, then you can listen to this and follow your passions. But what I would say, at least keep 51% for Nirgun Brahman, for formless awareness, for spirituality. Just even if you do that, that would be good enough. I'm letting out some secrets, but don't share it out loud. Don't share it with others. I'm joking. I'm publishing this on YouTube on my podcast, so it's an open secret. Not quoting Tony Parsons or anything. So the context of the whole verse is Sri Krishna tells us that we worship what is basically suited to our own material nature, according to our prakriti and what we feel is most suited to us. So basically, you reflect what you worship. If you worship formless awareness, that's exactly what your nature is. Verse 21. When a human being becomes attracted to a particular deva and sees them as worthy of their devotion, I steady their attention so they can please that deva with their offerings. So again, I'm just going to look at the whole verse altogether. And again, a very important one, because we have to understand that we should maximize what we're worshipping. So if you do worship a lesser deva, it's not a bad thing. Be fully involved in it. Be fully immersed in it. Sri Krishna says that the ground of existence will make that happen. Yeah. So anyway, let's go into it a bit more. Once any human sees the deva that they want to be devoted to, Sri Krishna, whether that's your Ishtadevta, whether that's Saguna Brahman or Ishvara, they will make sure that you can steady your attention to please that deva. So you will give offerings, whether that's, you know, doing some fasting, whether that's offering some wealth, any charitable act, you will do that for the deva. And even here, Sri Krishna wants to ensure that we remain devoted to something, even if it's a desire, that at least we have a deva that can support us in that desire. So there's some level of spirituality still there, intact. Very clever, very smart. If we address our desires in this life, then maybe in the next we will want Brahman, because we've exhausted those desires. By fixing their attention, they offer whatever they need to that particular deva. So Sri Krishna is saying, devote yourself to them. It's fine. But remember, there is no subtle ego. It's best to let people be where they are, unless they ask for your advice. So, you know, a lot of people will come up to me and say, Rahul, I want to be spiritual, but I also want to be rich. And I always say, well, go be rich then. You're better off worshipping Mahalakshmi. You're better off worshipping Ganeshi. If you want worldly knowledge, I want to do well at university, worship Ma Saraswati. But there'd be a rare few that will ask me, well, Rahul, I want to have worldly success, but I have more love for truth. I have more love for getting that Brahmgyan, that knowledge of Brahman. I want to be able to experience, perceive, and be one with Brahman. For those people, I would say, do both. And let's work together on balancing that. And that's literally what I think is the best route today. Because we all need worldly success, but we also need to make sure that we're setting ourselves up for success spiritually, either in this life or the next. And what I would say is, if you do enter this path of spirituality, even 100%, guess what will be following you? Worldly success. Because remember, Maya never wants to let go. Yeah. The unreal never wants to let go. So it will beg for your attention. But not everyone understands this. Not everyone gets it. Because fear comes in. But that enlightened person is fearless. They know they can do that. They only want Brahman. And the next thing they know, they're still achieving success in the world. And they will use that success for the right purposes too. The context of the whole verse is, that Sri Krishna guides how people can become attracted to a deva that most suits their needs. And then he further states that how important it is for their attention to be fixed and that Sri Krishna will guide them with that process. Verse 22. Anyone who invests their Shraddha upon a lesser divine being or upon an object, whatever their desire, eventually receives the result they are seeking. But that result is in fact given by me. So remember, there is only Brahman. There is only formless awareness. And that's the key to understanding this verse. First of all, let's just establish one thing. Everything is given by Brahman. Everything. Brahman is the source of all existence. Remember, Brahman is Sat Chit Ananda. So it's Sat meaning the ground of existence. Brahman is the base. People invest their Shraddha, their reverence, their devotion, their love to their Deva. So he says lesser divine being. So what I would say, if you can objectify a divine being, it's not the same as Brahman in terms of quality. Yeah. In terms of, remember, when I talk about Brahman here, I'm talking about Nirgun Brahman. Yeah, the moment you give it an attribute, once you make it into Saguna, it becomes a lesser divine being. And then obviously the more attributes you give to something, the more it becomes more objectified. The more objectified it becomes. The ultimate is Brahman, so anything else worshipped is a lesser divine being, simply put. Or if we worship an object that we desire, divine or not divine, that person gets what they want. This is Sri Krishna's guarantee that Brahman will do this. This is what the purpose is. So people will get what they're seeking for. Guaranteed. Now, people should thank Brahman. They should thank Nirgun Brahman, the ground of existence, for making that happen. But because of their lack of discernment, they only see the object or the lesser divine being. They don't see the one that's truly operating behind the scenes. That's the difference. Remember, all objects are subject to change. All devas are subject to change. Therefore, ultimately, they are all unreal, anithya, impermanent, transient. We need to understand that very clearly. And remember one thing, that we can only have reverence only according to what our intellect allows. If your intellect is strong and if it's highly evolved and it's seeking the absolute, it understands and has been able to digest between the changing and the changeless and knowing that the changing is unreal and the changeless is real, that person's reverence towards the truth will be higher. Seek the absolute and you will realize that you are the absolute. Seek formless awareness and you will realize you are formless awareness. Because remember, as Sri Krishna says, whatever you desire, eventually you will receive that result. And that result is given by me. Seek Brahman, and the result is Brahman itself. Seek Brahman, and the result is Brahman itself. Seek formless awareness, and the result is formless awareness itself. That's how simple it is. The context of the whole verse is that Sri Krishna guides us on how every result is given by Brahman, but people think everything they receive is either by their own effort or by a lesser divine being. That is the end of the episode. Thank you very much for listening. Please do share this podcast with your friends and family who may enjoy this content. Do follow me on social media to keep getting updates. Join the Bearded Mystic Podcast Community Group to continue the podcast discussion. Details are in the show notes and video description below. If you would like to support the Bearded Mystic Podcast, do check out the podcast Patreon page. Details are in the show notes and video description below. Please do like and comment on this video and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Please follow, subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast streaming app. Thank you very much for listening. Let's end with the Soham and Shanti Mantra. Soham, Soham, I am that, Om Shanti, 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 Om Peace, 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 Namaste.